This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So very happy to be with you today. Yes, I am. May God be praised for the opportunity to use these airwaves for His honor and for His glory. I hope all is going well with you, and I hope that you have had just a wonderful Christmas season, even as we prepare to make our way to this coming new year. And, you know, this is the time of the year where a lot of individuals are suffering with loneliness. They're suffering with depression. Oftentimes, it's a very sentimental and nostalgic time of the year. I know I've had those moments as we've gone through the Advent season, preparing for Christmas, and even through this Christmas season that we're currently in. We have a tendency to look back on the past, and oftentimes those past bring up memories that can be difficult for us to travail through. Sometimes, you know, we've walked that path with them for numbers and numbers of years, but each time they rise up within us, you know, we feel maybe a new twinge of grief or a new twinge of anguish. We're going to be talking about all of that today with one of my favorite people, Suzanne Bars. Many of you know her because we've had her on the program before. She is just a real gift to the church and a gift to us. She is a Catholic mental health counselor. She's a PhD. She heads up the Bars Institute. That's B-A-A-R-S Institute. You can go on out there to her website and look at all of the marvelous resources that she has available for you. And we're going to be talking about those very topics today. So I want to encourage you, if you're going through just a little bit of the doldrums in this very holy season of Christmas, or if you know your anticipation of this new year is not what you hoped it would be, we want to talk about that with you right here on our program today. Let me give you that toll-free number. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live. We love having that holy conversation with you, and we love to explore these issues of life through the lens of our own Catholic faith all the time, using the good research that science and others have provided for us. And that's what we're going to be doing today. So I think it's going to be a very informative program and hopefully a very helpful program for you. If you're feeling just a little bit lonely right now, a little left out perhaps, or this hasn't been what you hoped it would be within the context of your own family life as it situates itself right now at this moment in time, we're going to be talking about all of those kinds of things. Do want to remind you, though, that there's a couple of events that are coming up, and we're very excited about them. One of the big events coming up sooner than later, not this weekend, but next weekend, is going to be a beautiful opportunity for you at St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church that is located right here in the Diocese of Birmingham. Excuse me. And I've been telling you about it for the past couple of weeks. Be Set Free, Healing the Wounded Heart is the theme. And this wonderful theme is going to be explored through the lens, once again, of our Catholic faith. But what it is that we can do to cooperate with our faith, but also with the plan of God for us as we make our way through this process of healing, restoration, renewal, and new life. It's going to be a lovely, lovely evening on January the 9th, which is a Friday night, and then Saturday, January the 10th. As I say, it's being held at St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church that is located here in the Diocese of Birmingham. We're inviting you to join us. We've had, you know, a very good showing of pre-registration thus far. We're hoping that you will pre-register and plan to join us. We want you to pre-register, even though we'll accept you at the door, but we can't guarantee that you'll get lunch that way. And certainly we want to feed you. So we do invite you to pre-register. Just go to our website, womenofgrace.com. You can use, the opportunity that's there for you. You'll see the event listed in our events, but you'll also see it there in the slideshow. Both locations will take you to a landing page, and you can do the registration there. You can actually read the talk titles. They're all available for you there. I'm going to be doing the talks. We're going to have Danielle Rose with us. She's going to be providing us with, beautiful worship music, music that raises our hearts and our mind to God, but also music that opens us up opens us up to receive the graces that God would have us receive through our time together. So everything kicks off, as I say, Friday night, January the 9th. I think we get started around 7 o'clock p.m. You can verify that by going out to the website, womenofgrace.com, and looking at it. We get started Saturday morning, 8 a.m. with registration. And also, I think the talk begins at 9. And again, check the times on that, cross-check me. But that's about the time. We'll end up around 3:30 Saturday afternoon. We'll have an opportunity for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. As I say, we're going to, I think, really be lifted up and ministered to by the beautiful vocals of Danielle Rose. We are also going to have time for individual prayer. We're going to have time also for the Sacrament of Reconciliation. We're packing a whole lot into this opportunity for you. I'll be giving 5 talks beginning Friday the evening and then winding up on Saturday afternoon. So I hope that you'll join us for this. If you're going through a rough spot right now, if it seems as though these wounds of the past just continue to insinuate themselves, press themselves upon you, we want to talk about what is the remedy that God offers us and how is it that perhaps even a new perspective of those moments in our lives can help for us to attain that freedom of spirit that God wants us to know. Remember what it says in Scripture, when the Lord sets you free, you are freed indeed. And that is what we're looking for in these moments that we're going to be spending together there at St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church. So don't delay. Get out there. Sign up right away. We want to be with you on both of those days. Yes, we do. There's a little jingle for you right there. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having holy conversation with you. Our guest, Suzanne Barrs, is going to be taking us through, I think, a marvelous look at how it is that God provides us with what we need to get through moments of loneliness, especially as we, continue on our Christmas journey through the Christmas season, winding up, of course, on that great feast of our dearest mother, Mother of God, on January the 1st. So do call in, get your questions ready. The phone lines are open for you. Again, that's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're available for you also at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Simply go out there, use the chat feature. Do tell us who you are, where you are, how it is that you're listening to us. Be sure, obviously, to include your question or your comment. We're going to get all of that retrieved for you and up on the board. Now, let me see, who is doing that retrieving? I think it's Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving. Not quite certain who's doing the phone answering, but I'm going to find that out for you and be sure to let you know all about that. Also want to let you know that we've got all kinds of wonderful resources available for you there at EWTN's religious catalog. EWTNRC.com is the way that you can appreciate it. And it is Matthew Gavinsky. Woohoo! Matthew's back in the saddle there answering your phone calls today. Pedro Quiles out there collecting your questions on social media. And we've got the wonderful Vanessa Sanchez back with us there on the campus of EWTN, making it all happen in the studio there. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't forget about that upcoming event at St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church. Go out to womenofgrace.com to access it. When we come back, our guest Suzanne Barrs is going to be with us. We're going to be talking about what is it about this season of the year that brings up these issues regarding loneliness and grief and just feeling out of it in a certain way. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you today. We love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. We want to let you know that we've got congratulations going out to another great EWTN radio partner. Sacred Heart Radio, with stations in Cincinnati and Middletown, Ohio, is celebrating 24 years with with us this week. Can you get over that? 24 years. Yeah, they also co-produced the Sunrise Morning Show with us. And congratulations to Bill Levitt and his great team at Sacred Heart Radio from your friends here at EWTN. And now I am so excited to welcome back a great friend of Women of Grace, a woman that I have known for a number of years. Can't think of how many it's been. I want to guess it's been 30 years, Suzanne. Could it be that long?
I think it's almost maybe 25. I think it was the end of the 90s that I met you and that you started inviting me on your show. So yeah, it's been wonderful.
Yeah, and we're always happy to have Suzanne be a part of our programming, and what a wonderful mental health counselor she is. And I met you, Suzanne, as you well know, through Father Edmund Sylvia, who was so familiar with your father's work, right? And he wanted to introduce me to that great work. He was working with me here at Women of Grace, Living His Life Abundantly. And, you know, we would talk about deep issues regarding wounds of the heart and things of that matter. And he introduced me to you by way of introducing me to your father. And I'm so happy to have you with us today. And friend Suzanne's going to be talking with us about loneliness, about grief, about all of those things that sometimes plague us at this time of the year. And it's a natural emotion that rises up within us, but oftentimes we don't know the best way to approach it. But before we get into that topic at heart, Suzanne, tell us a little bit about your work. Tell us a little bit about your great website. I want to give it to you, friends. It's BARS, B-A-A-R-S, Institute.com. B-A-A-R-S, BARS Institute.com. Go ahead, Suzanne.
Yes, I have been in the field for about 40 years now and following the work of my father, who is a Catholic psychiatrist. And so on the website that we created probably about 25, 30 years ago, we list all of my father's books. He and his colleague, Dr. Anna Tarua, based everything, all their clinical work on the psychology of St. Thomas Aquinas, marrying it with modern psychological discoveries. And so there are different books listed on the website for sale. There's an explanation also of what affirmation therapy is, and this is not affirmation like a gender affirmation or motivational phrases. It's a really very profound way of learning how to be present to another person and to receive the person. And then essentially then what they looked at, what we look at in our practice here in Texas is what are the wounds that come when people have not been present to us or to another person? And how do we begin to heal those wounds through being present, through listening, through seeking to understand? Because this is oftentimes what people are really searching for. And what I've noticed, Johnette, over the past, I don't know, number of years, is not necessarily just with me as a therapist, but when people begin to feel affirmed, they use certain words like, I feel heard, I feel known, I feel understood, I feel respected, I feel cared about. And that is such a new experience for them, but it is very profound and it is very healing. So the books that are on the website refer to that. They refer to the great wound to the person when someone has not been affirmed. And we now call it emotional deprivation disorder. So we have several books there that address that. Born Only Once. And then the other one is Healing the Unaffirmed. And one of the other very popular books is Feeling and Healing Your Emotions, which is really a sort of a primer on St. Thomas's understanding the emotions and how we make application of that in different situations, what that means as Catholics, as Christians, just as human persons. And then several of the other books is, one is Psychic Wholeness and Healing, which is very much explains how we use St. Thomas's understanding of the person in healing things like obsessive compulsive disorder. And then we have one to do with articles and monographs that my father had concerning the priesthood and the renewal of the church. And that is called I Will Give Them a New Heart. Mm-hmm. And then we finally have a new book that is out, which is explaining what is called mortification therapy. And that is a particular type of therapy for the healing of sexual obsessions and compulsions. Mm-hmm. And that is actually written by Father Basil Cole, who is a very well-known moral theologian. So that's the new addition to the the website. So I hope people go out and just look at the website, look at what we're talking about there, what kind of healing is available, because many people will come to me or write to me and they'll say, I read this book by your father. How did he know me? He's never met me. And so it's very beautiful because I think it really speaks to the wounds, the deep wounds of the human heart, and the need, the innate need to be loved and to be valued and to be affirmed just for oneself, not for any other reason.
Yes. Yeah, you know, when you're talking about this, there's so many thoughts that run through my mind. And one of the wonderful realities of our faith, one of the great treasures of our Catholic faith in particular, is the fact that through the grace of God, you know, we have great saints like Thomas of Aquinas, you know, Thomas Aquinas, whom you mentioned, and who is so instrumental and was so instrumental in the development of affirmation therapy, right? Instrumental at a day and time when, you know, psychology was not even a word that was known. But what was known was the way in which the human person is created in the image and likeness of God. The fact that you know, we have a soul, that's the psychic reality of our being, that we're not just purely incarnated, but we have an eternal dimension, the soul, and some of, you know, the way in which that interacts together to create either the greatest of joys or the greatest of sorrows, depending upon how all of that is received by those that are most important to us. I would say initially, you know, our parents, our mothers and our fathers.
Yes, that's right. And I think that's when people begin to realize, and especially in the family, which really is the first school of love, as I think Pope Benedict has said and some of the other great popes have talked about, when they begin to see, like, what does it mean to really love and to be present? I think that helps them oftentimes, if they're really paying attention, they can start realizing, I need to let go of these other things that I have thought are so important for my children, like, which will have an effect for them way in the future, and just focus on what is happening now, here and now, and bring the family more into relationship and connection with each other and spend time. You know, I really think that the proximity of family and doing things together can be so healing. You know, I do family therapy and couples therapy, and a lot of times what I see is that the different members of the family can sometimes feel very alienated or isolated, even though they live in the same household, because the attention isn't being paid, or they can't get the other people's attention, their parents' attention, or the spouse can't get, you know, their husband or wife's attention. And sometimes it really helps to sort of wake us up to, I see it in people and hear it in them. Like, I want to do something about this. And then what they're first trying to do is, I want to do something for them, or I want to do these things and I have to find out what they want, which is important. But it's really about learning how to be still and be open and receptive to the other person and to sort of see where they're at. And a lot of times that in itself, in the activity of daily life, can make all the difference. It can bring healing in relationships. It can cement families more closely. And it can be very beautiful. I think it's rather simple. Sometimes it doesn't seem simple, you know, especially from our perspective as therapists or as the family or the spouse. But I think when we really begin to look, and this, I think spiritually, it also has there's a piece there too. When we look at, like, what is it in me that stops me from really receiving the other person and being still in the presence of the other person, because maybe they have to start looking at, this is what I'm trying to want from the other person, or they're supposed to give to me. And I think if we can begin to help them in therapy, or the person begins to reflect on, how do I just let go of that for the time being and look at, how can I just be with them? That is something that is we are so busy in our culture that we don't oftentimes make time just to be present to someone. And I know that even for myself, when someone is just present with me And they really, if I have something important to say to them, and they just really stop and listen, that makes all the difference in the world. They oftentimes don't have an answer for it. And I see that in my work, is that it's not so much the answering of it, it's the receiving of what the wound is or what the what needs to be said. And that that it in itself makes can make all the difference. And we're not very good at that, I think, you know, as human beings. And I think we need to first learn about it, affirmation as a three-step process of being open, present, and receptive without wanting any from anything from the person or trying to do anything. And then as if you as you are that way with the other person, as you allow, as you get to know them and you sort of see them in a new light, perhaps, you allow your feelings to be moved, the feelings of delight or liking, perhaps love, perhaps sadness or pity or compassion. We allow that to happen. And then the third step is where we have a decision to make, is that I can reveal or not reveal my feelings to the other person. But when they see those feelings in my countenance or hear it in how I choose my words, the tone of voice, that can have a very healing effect. That can have a connecting effect, like, oh, you're really seeing me for the first time, or this hasn't happened for such a long time. And that's where I think we need to go in our families, so that families can grow closer and that couples can come closer and learn how to forgive each other in a real sense, not just in a sort of a theoretical sense or the sense of our willpower, which is important. It's the beginning stage, but we also want that the bridge of love to be there as well, and real receptivity. So I think that's what I hope that people are become more and more aware of and open to, and are willing more and more to be receptive to other people and slow down and really look at people and really listen to people. Because I think that's what the Lord does for us, you know, yeah. Whether it's in adoration or in some kind of personal prayer, or in some kind of like in our spiritual direction. The Lord really wants, he's always present to us. He's always really loving us. And I think that's where we can enter into that kind of connection with other people as well. Yeah. We can foster it.
Yeah, and I do want to mention, too, that on your website there, Suzanne, there are some absolutely beautiful audio opportunities for people.
Yes.
It's you talking with them about the abode of love, developing the heart, and you've got some wonderful that's a three-part series, I think. No, four-part series, actually. So, you know, I do want to send you all out there to Bars Institute, BAARS Institute.com to take a look at that. You know, as you're talking about what this whole process is like, when we are striving to be, affirming of other individuals, it reminds me very much of the phenomenology of John Paul II, right? Being open, yes. Being present to the moment, and being receptive, yes, to the other, right? So there's a beautiful, yes, wedding there, I think, between the psychological and the philosophical way of being. And that's what we're talking, yes, about, being.
Yes, exactly. You know, I'll tell you an interesting story, because John Paul II, in his Theology of the Body, does refer to affirmation of the value of the person. Well, this is the story. In 1971, my father and his colleague were invited to address all the bishops of the world at the Vatican Synod of Bishops. And so they gave this talk about the crisis in the priesthood, which they related to a lack of affirmation, a lack of understanding of the emotional life. And so they gave this, all of the bishops in the world got a copy of this talk. Well, there was one bishop in particular who stayed behind to talk with them, and he spoke with them all afternoon because he was so fascinated by their theories. And that was Karol Wojtyła, who later came to be John Paul II. And so I was talking with someone who was an expert on theology of the body a few years ago, and she said, well, you know, he refers to that in the theology of the body. He says he talks about the affirmation of the value of the person. And so he is, that is that his you know, he talked about that, you know, it was really important to receive the other person. And I think he resonated so much with what they had learned. And of course, they were Thomists. He was a Thomist as well, following St. Thomas Aquinas. So it's just a wonderful story. So I think that's really true. There is a wonderful wedding of his thinking and their thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that you might have shared that story with me a long time ago. I had completely forgotten about it. And I'm so glad that you refreshed my memory. But I think that all of that anchors this approach, you know, in a very Catholic perspective of the world and of the human person and the human person in the world that God has created and the way in which he desires for us to interact. And that kind of brings us to the topic of the day, because oftentimes what happens when we're not affirmed, we act out of that lack of affirmation in our relationships with others. And at this time of the year, there are so many people that suffer from great loneliness. You know, there's that loneliness can be a loneliness because they're deprived of their loved ones from being around them. But oftentimes it can be loneliness within the context of the family, as you mentioned.
Yes, exactly. And I think it, especially around this time of the year, around Christmas and the holidays, people really, it's sort of an accentuated problem. And I think it depends on maybe the temperament of the person. Like if there are some people will withdraw and feel like, well, nobody cares about me. And so it just gets worse. And it's sort of, they can spiral down into that depression and loneliness, just sort of following those thoughts. But I think there's also people who can maybe be more demanding of other people, which also unfortunately has an effect of pushing other people away, because people don't want things to be love or compassion or friendship to be demanded. They want to perhaps have an invitation, or, you know, someone who is looking to be connected to them, but not to demand it in some way. And so I think, you know, when people are lonely like that, they have to learn how to manage their expectations, not compare themselves to other people that are, you know, sounding like they're just having a party every night.
Well, let's just hold there, and we're going to come back and get right into that again. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can give us a call here today. We're going to be right back on the other side of the break. Suzanne Barr is with us today. Give us a call.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. And yes, the phone lines are indeed open. Let me repeat those numbers for you again. 833-288-EWTN is a toll-free number for you if you're here in North America. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, we've got a number for you too. Begins with the country code, which is 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Available for you as well at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Simply go out there, use that chat feature, tell us who you are, where you are, how you're listening, if it's not through social media. And I do, of course, leave your question or comment. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board. Matthew Gubensky answering those phone lines today. And we've got Pedro Quiles, our golden retriever, out there retrieving all of those questions and comments that you leave for us at YouTube. Vanessa Sanchez in studio there on the campus of EWTN, making it happen. And I am so pleased today to be joined by our guest, Suzanne Barrs. As I mentioned to you, she's a mental health counselor. She practices in the state of Texas. Her website available for you, Barrs Institute, B-A-A-R-S Institute.com, has great resources available for you there. Gives you great insight, great information, great books written by her father, a new book that's available there on a fascinating topic, which I think I'm going to have to go out and purchase, on mortification, having to do with the way in which sexual obsession can really be, you know, mitigated through the light of faith, and the way in which God has given us our faith to employ in these areas of struggle within our own lives. We're talking today about loneliness and grief. Perhaps this is a difficult time of the year for you. We're offering you the opportunity to talk to the dark laughter right here on the air today. Suzanne is with us. So, Suzanne, you were talking with us about the way in which oftentimes when we're feeling lonely, we can actually, create that veil of loneliness for ourselves by the way in which we respond to it.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't mean to imply that when someone's lonely, they're making themselves lonely or they're keeping themselves lonely. It's just that it can happen, because I think sometimes we get into a mindset where it's like, well, nobody cares about me, nobody's called. And I think if we can begin to shift, or if, I mean, even listening to this podcast, or, you know, talking to someone just who can sort of gently help the person focus on things that they can change. One is just to lower expectations. Like, we're not necessarily going to have a social life like some other people, and that's okay. And, you know, I would say get off of social media if you're lonely, because that could really increase it. Unless there's some way that you can connect to other people through that social media. But I'd say if the person can think about, okay, what can I do differently to help myself? Not just to say, oh, I'm not going to feel like this anymore, but to reach out to other people, to make connections, to call people, maybe call family members just to say hello, to see how they're doing. You know, there's an awful lot of opportunity for volunteering at this time of the year. You know, you just watch the news and they're always saying, well, we could use volunteers for this, or to feed the, you know, the homeless, or at different shelters, or the, you know, things like Toys for Tots, you know, can help us to wrap the presents. And of course, now it's after Christmas, but to really look at, like, where could I put my efforts, or the, you know, some simple talents, like I can help construct things, or, you know, put together food packages or things like that, or just groups that are available. You know, are there, I would say, for the person to reflect on, what are things in their life, perhaps in the distant past or in the recent past, that they've enjoyed? Like, could they pick those things up again, like listening to music or playing an instrument, or joining some kind of a group that they haven't been a part of for a while, or maybe a new group, maybe something simple like a book club or a Bible study at church. So to really think about, there are opportunities to connect with other people. And I'd say the other part of managing expectations is to, if when we're doing those kinds of things, not to just expect that I'm going to immediately have best friends or people are going to be calling me all the time, but just that I've made the effort and now I've done something for today. And maybe tomorrow I have to look at, what are the things that I could do tomorrow that maybe it's just pleasant for me and I'm going to be doing it by myself, but what are the plans that I could make later in the week or for the following week? You know, maybe exercise where you interact with other people. And so sort of just to see it as, this is something that's moving away from that, just the loneliness and sitting in it, and to say, there's only one person that can do this for me, and it's me. And I'd say some of the other things too to add in is just prayer time, like to go and spend time in adoration and just let the Lord love you there, because that's not going to solve everything else that we have to do for ourselves. But I think it's going to, without us having to act or do anything, just to allow the Lord to love us and to meet us in that loneliness, because he experienced loneliness at times. And so did the Holy Family, you know, is that it was very difficult. Some of the things that they went through were very difficult, and they didn't understand everything that was being asked of them. And so I think if we can allow the Lord to sort of bathe us in his love, that also can be a big help for someone who is a person of faith, especially a Catholic.
You know, as you mentioned, you know, that the Holy Family went through these periods as well. I think we oftentimes forget about the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the humanity of our Blessed Mother, right? I mean, our Lady was pure creature. She is just like us. Our Lord is hypostatic union. In a certain sense, on a certain level, he was always in communion with the Holy Spirit and with God the Father. But in his humanity, he suffered deeply. You know, he was rejected. He was dejected. He was abused. He was misunderstood. Even his own apostles didn't get him. You know,
Yes.
You know, and so on a level that we can't even begin to explore because we're not hypostatic union, that rejection was even more profound within his humanity as well as within his divinity. You know, I think about St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and when, you know, our Lord appeared to her in the Sacred Heart and he showed her his heart. And he said, here is my heart, so rejected. And he asked for reparation, for consolation, really, for the sorrows of his heart. So when we're in a similar situation, we can draw a certain amount of comfort from that. And you talk about adoration, what a perfect place to go. What could be more perfect than going and adoring the one in his body, blood, soul, and divinity that is always there reserved for us, right?
Yes, I think that's exactly right. And I think what you're saying is so important because I think some of the people that come into my office, and I'm sure this is true for many Christian therapists, is that they see God as, even the Lord, Jesus, as just so way above them and only divine and really removed from them. And I think if they can maybe begin to read through the Gospels and to reflect on, did Jesus in his humanity experience everything that we experienced except for sin? Yes. And so that he is really reaching out to us individually, I mean, as collectively as well, but individually, like he can really, his wounds and his feelings of rejection, the things that he experienced can also touch our hearts and I think really be a source of healing and consolation. And that we can, I think in turn can, at some point, perhaps we can console him. Like, yes. Lord, I understand. I understand what you went through, and thank you for understanding me. And I like to sort of think of it as to invite the Lord. Like, the Lord is never going to be a thief, you know, and come into us without our permission. But that we sort of open ourselves up, like opening the doors of our heart. And inviting the Lord in to do whatever it is that he wishes. I had a spiritual director years ago who said, you know, the Lord doesn't come in with a bulldozer. He comes in with a little feather duster. He's never going to blow you out of the water. She didn't say words exactly, but she said he comes in with a little feather duster. And I think if we realize that is the Lord's attitude towards us, and we can receive that and invite him in, then the Lord can do the rest and he can help us where we're helping ourselves and doing some things that we need to do. He's going to help us do the things that only he can do and really love us right where we need love.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost as if, you know, our loneliness can meet the Lord in his loneliness. It's the two, you know, the veil of loneliness becomes a meeting point between God and the soul. I want to go to Marie. She's with us in Massachusetts. And friends, you can join us too, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Marie is listening to us via Station of the Cross. Hi, Marie. How are you this morning?
Hi, Brennan. I'm sorry, Jeanette. Hi. Yes, I had a question for your guest.
Yes, Suzanne, Dr. Suzanne Bars.
You know, you're talking about things you can do for loneliness, but, you know, there are people who are homebound, who are who are in a lot of pain, who cannot go out, you know, people in nursing homes, and, you know, what suggestions does he have for those kinds of people?
You know, that's a very good question, Maria, because I don't think it's a simple solution because they're really sort of stuck there, right? I mean, that's where they have to live and they may have to wait for people to come and visit them. They may be able to reach out to people if they can, to the people just in the home with them or participate in some activities there. Hopefully they have access to the Mass or to adoration or to prayer or maybe to the rosary. You know, I know sometimes some of the people that I have known is that they will just say the rosary with some other people there. And maybe those are the things that they can participate in if that's possible. And I would hope that they would, if they're reaching out to family or friends that are outside of that situation, you know, I would hope and pray that those people would respond and would come to visit them. But yes, I mean, there's times when all of us are in a situation where we can't do a whole lot for ourselves, and we have to pray that the Lord provides other people, right? And it can be a very great time of loneliness that we may have to offer to the Lord. And it doesn't mean that the loneliness is taken away. So yes, I think we need to pray for those people, and those of us that can do things like that, we can visit these people and pray for them as we can.
Does that answer your question, Marie?
Yeah, it's the old cross. That's what it is.
Yes, it is the cross. It is the cross. That's right.
And one of the great truths that we have in our faith, Marie, is the redemptive value of the cross, right? Our Lord went to the cross for us, and these individual crosses that we carry in our lives, even though they can be quite heavy, oftentimes almost crushing, can be the very thing that God uses to sanctify us, purify us, and make us ready, really, for life on high in Him. And I know in moments in my own life, and some griefs, even if you have lots of people around you, it's not mitigated. Of course, I'm thinking, Suzanne, about losing my son. You know, of course, this time of year, all of those emotions come up again, and it's very fresh and very real. But, you know, we're not alone in that. Our Lord is there. But you've got to walk through that valley. There's no question about it. You've got to walk through
it. That's great.
If you're listening today and you're homebound, just know that our Lord is with you. You are not alone. He is there with you, offering you the grace that you need to be able to bear this cross with the courage that it requires. We've got someone with us from San Antonio, Texas, not too far from where you are, I guess. And this individual doesn't want to go on the air, but our caller says, I'm 76. I've been going through so much, and it's getting overwhelming. You know, oftentimes this is true. We can feel almost overwhelmed, Suzanne. What do we do in those moments?
Well, I think it's similar to what we were just talking about with Marie. That and what you were saying too, and I have lost people, to death, and especially going through the holidays or any time of year. Sometimes we can feel so alone, even in the midst of our family, because we're the ones that maybe had the closest connection to that person. Maybe we're the ones that it intersected, and it didn't intersect so deeply with anyone else. So we are really alone. And I would say there, you know, in addition to all the things we were just talking about reaching out to others, is that, you know, that suffering is inevitable in life, unfortunately, but because we live in a fallen world, it is going to be there. But the Lord wants to accompany us. And I think we want to reach out to Him and unite our sufferings with His so that it has meaning. And that doesn't, like I said a minute ago, it doesn't mean that it lessens the pain, but I think it does help to give hope. Because I know when I have, and it's been many years since I've lost different people in my life, but I remember thinking, at least I know I will see them again. And there were sort of like two levels going on. One was the grieving and the terrible loss, just the emptiness inside, like it was feeling like my guts were coming out. And at the same time, there was this knowledge that the Lord was there with me. He was comforting me. I couldn't always feel that, but it gave me hope that I could get through this. And that maybe I needed certain things. At one point, I needed to be on an antidepressant because the depression was so terrible. And the grief was so overwhelming, and that helped me for a time. And then I could get off of that. But, you know, just the hope that we know with our Christian faith that we're going to see these people again, you know, that there is meaning to life. And I think that's the one thing that we hold on to, is that there is a greater meaning to all this. Even though suffering is real, we cannot spiritualize away suffering. We cannot intellectualize away suffering. We need to say, here it is, this is awful. And I can step out of it sometimes because I'm doing things with friends or I'm going to reach out to other people. But the problem is that always when we step back and we're alone, there it is again. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult. It's very difficult. And so I was just saying this to a friend of mine who just lost her husband a week ago. And she said to me last night, she said, when will it stop? Yeah. And I said, you know, in my experience, clinical and personal, is that loss and loneliness and the grief and the unreality of it all, I think it takes time to absorb it. Yes. It's like it has to be absorbed so that, and that's, that might sound horrible to some people, but it has to be absorbed so that it's like I can live with the reality, but it's sort of like I always thought of it as a chalice of suffering that every time I would grieve or cry, it would get poured out.
Yeah.
And then it would start filling up again.
Yeah.
And it would feel like it would never end until not suddenly, but at some point I began realizing there's something different. It's a little less. It's not so bad. And I know that the Lord was accompanying me, but I still had to walk that way of that cross.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I've often talked about, and when women have come to me, you know, who have lost children, for example, and they'll pour their heart out to me because they know that I know that loss. You know, I'll tell them, you know, and they'll ask me the same thing. When will this stop? Yeah. And I tell them, you know, this kind of a grief never stops, but we learn to accommodate life around it. You know,
yes,
it doesn't that's become right. the ruling emotion of our life. Sometimes it rises up,
yes,
and it is for
yes
a little length of time. But again, mm-hmm, we can, and I think that that's the idea of absorption, as you put it. Bob called and he couldn't hold, but he wanted to ask, would you please recommend a course of action for some resources for a man who feels an unaffirmed life left lingering father wounds? And I think he means that he was unaffirmed and these father wounds,
yes,
remain. Should I say something to my dad if my father is still alive and clearly loves me, but is on a different mental wavelength than I am?
You know, that's a really good question, because a lot of times people are in that position that their parents are still there, you know, still alive, but they really are not capable of affirming the person. And I would say, first of all, to sit down with a therapist that is at least somewhat familiar with emotional deprivation or, you know, deep childhood wounds, and be able first to talk through that. And then I think after some time, Bob could sit with talk with the therapist about, like, is what would happen if I talked to my father about this, or what are the possibilities, and look at, like, what would be my goal in doing that? Like, maybe the distant goal would be everything would change and he would be affirming. How likely is that? And is my goal then just to be honest, right? Or to learn how to accept it and to learn how to live the affirming life himself, which doesn't mean that you're affirming yourself the way your parents should have, but it's learning how to be open and be moved by what is good. Sort of like what we were talking about with that loneliness, you know, just dealing with loneliness, but to do things that are pleasant and move the emotions, especially the emotions of love, desire, and joy, because those help us to move out of like a mindset of like overcoming things and doing things and being productive or distracting ourselves, but really receiving the good of things, the good of things that are beautiful and good and true. So those are some of the things that the person can do for themselves. But I think what Bob is asking is a very good question, and a lot of people will ask it. I'd say instead of rushing into that, to have someone that you can really trust to look at, like, what is that wound about for me? What am I looking for from my father? And so before we do anything about that, we want to reflect on it and look at, can I do some healing on my own before I look to that for that in my father at this age time in life?
You know what? That is such good advice, because the motivation makes all the difference in the world. Chances are that this person's dad is not even aware of the fact that he,
yes,
didn't affirm his son. This is you know,
yeah,
how many emotionally distant people have you met,
yeah,
in life, right, who have no idea that they're emotionally distant because they're just locked,
yeah,
into their own field of vision about themselves and about,
yes,
others, you know?
That's right. And I think they probably did the best that they could do, but it fell short for the child, you know, even the adult child, because that sometimes I've met people in their 30s and 40s and 50s, and maybe that's where Bob is at, is that they're looking for the same thing that they didn't get as a child, and the parent is still not capable of giving it, you know, and they just don't know what it even means to be present and to really love someone and to be receptive of their child.
Yeah. Well, Suzanne, this has been a wonderful program. I'm so grateful that you've given us your time today. And friends, Suzanne's going to be back with us every month. That's the hope. And we'll be talking about this topic as we move forward into this new year. But I do want you to get out to our website. Go out to BARS, B-A-A-R-S, Institute.com. Lots of the books that are there for you hit these issues straight on and can be of great help and great value to you. They've been of great help and great value to me throughout the course of my life. So I invite you to check it all out there. Suzanne, God bless you, and God bless all of you too. Get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. Bye-bye now.